The Iran war is causing a global energy crisis. Can China withstand it? The Iran conflict has done what decades of Western sanctions could not: expose the strategic vulnerability of just-in-time energy supply chains. While the Philippines mandates four-day work weeks and Indonesia burns through reserves that will last just weeks, China, the world's largest oil buyer, sits fortified behind reserves, diversification, and a renewable energy build-out that now looks less like climate virtue signaling and more like calculated geopolitical insurance. The question isn't whether China can withstand the Gulf shock, it's whether this crisis permanently reorders global energy power dynamics in Beijing's favor. The arithmetic of disruption. The numbers tell the story of a global choke point under siege. Approximately 20 million barrels of oil transit the Strait of Hormuz daily, roughly a fifth of global supply, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Since late February, when U.S.-Israeli strikes triggered Iranian retaliation and an effective blockade of the waterway, oil prices have spiked to near $120 per barrel. Natural gas markets are moving in parallel. Qatar's Ras Laffan industrial city, which produces a fifth of the world's LNG supply, suffered missile strikes in early March that caused extensive damage to Shell's Pearl Gas to Liquids facility and sizable fires across multiple LNG trains. UK gas prices surged 30% intraday Thursday before settling 22% higher at 170 pence per therm. European gas followed with a 20% jump. China consumes 15 to 16 million barrels of oil daily, per market analyst cited by BBC. Gulf states, particularly Saudi Arabia and Iran, each supply more than 10% of Chinese imports. The immediate math is brutal. Losing Hormuz access cuts China's supply by roughly 2 to 3 million barrels per day at the low end, assuming 15 to 20% of imports flow through the strait. For context, that's enough to fuel China's entire aviation sector or a significant chunk of its 400 million road vehicles. Yet China's southern industrial belt, the region most dependent on seaborne crude from the Middle East and Iran via the South China Sea, hasn't ground to a halt. The reason lies in two decades of strategic preparation that transformed energy security from an Achilles heel into a competitive advantage. 2. The buffer Beijing built. Ole Hansen, Saxo Bank's head of commodity strategy, estimates China has accumulated reserves of approximately 900 million barrels, just under 3 months of imports. Columbia University figures cited by Chinese state media place the stockpile higher, at 1.4 billion barrels. The discrepancy reflects opacity around China's strategic petroleum reserve system. But even the conservative estimate represents 56 to 60 days of total consumption at current burn rates. China's buying pattern reveals intentionally. In January and February alone, immediately before the conflict escalated, Beijing imported 16% more crude year over year, according to customs data. Iran, whose U.S.-sanctioned crude trades at a discount, became a key accumulation source. Reports suggest China absorbs more than 80% of Iranian oil exports. Vessel tracking data from COPLOR shows over 46 million barrels of Iranian crude currently sitting in tankers along the South China Sea, roughly 3 days of national consumption held in floating storage, available for immediate drawdown. Compare this to regional peers. Indonesia faces reserve exhaustion in weeks. The Philippines enacted emergency fuel rationing. India, the world's third largest oil consumer, holds roughly 40 days of reserves, two-thirds of China's coverage. The divergence stems not from geology but statecraft. China exploited the 2014 to 2016 oil price collapse, the 2020 pandemic glut, and persistent Iranian discounts to build reserves when others focused on quarterly budgets. Beijing has already moved to lock down domestic supply. Chinese authorities reportedly ordered refineries to halt fuel exports, preserving inventory for internal consumption while preventing price spikes that could fuel inflation and social unrest. The optics are telling. China is prioritizing energy sovereignty over export revenue. 3. Diversification as doctrine. China's energy architecture reveals systematic risk mitigation. Russian oil accounts for nearly a fifth of imports, making Moscow by far Beijing's largest supplier despite Western sanctions. These volumes flow via pipeline through northeastern routes and the eastern Siberia Pacific Ocean system, completely bypassing maritime choke points. The northern provinces, home to heavy industry and winter heating demand, rely primarily on domestic production from Daxing, Shengli, and other legacy fields, supplemented by Russian pipeline crude. This geographic split means Hormuz disruption hits the Pearl River Delta and Yangtze Corridor hardest while leaving the Bohai Rim and Manchurian industrial zones largely insulated. Then there's the coal foundation. China produces more than half of global coal output and relies on it for most electricity generation. Oil and gas together account for just over a quarter of China's total energy mix, dramatically lower than Europe and the US, where petroleum-derived fuels dominate transport, heating, and petrochemicals. This structural difference cannot be overstated. A Gulf oil shock hits China's transportation fuel and chemical feedstocks but leaves baseload power generation untouched. The renewable wedge compounds the buffer. Wind, nuclear, solar, and hydropower generated more than a third of China's electricity in 2025, per the National Bureau of Statistics. More critically, estimates suggest that clean sources now represent over half of installed capacity, meaning new demand increasingly. Defaults to non-fossil sources. The International Energy Agency projects Chinese oil demand will plateau or decline, not from economic weakness but from structural displacement. Point 4. The EV wildcard. Electric vehicles have moved from policy aspiration to market force. EVs account for at least a third of new car sales in China, a penetration rate that dwarfs Europe, roughly 25%, and the US, under 10%. Rock Shi from the University of Technology Sydney notes this directly reduces petroleum dependency. An EV owner in Beijing draws power from the grid, which increasingly means coal, hydro, wind, or nuclear rather than imported crude. The transportation arithmetic is significant. Road vehicles consume roughly 5 to 6 million barrels per day of China's 15 to 16 million barrel total, call it 35 to 40% of demand. If a third of new sales are EVs and the fleet turns over on a 10 to 12 year cycle, China is shaving 3 to 5% off annual oil demand growth that would otherwise materialize. Over a decade, this compounds into millions of barrels per day of avoided imports. Energy economics researcher Roger Fouquet frames this as strategic rather than environmental. To some extent, China is fortunate that 25 years ago it began its investment in renewable energy and it is now reaping the benefits. The Gulf crisis validates that long view. Countries that treated oil security as a function of reserve days alone now face existential economic risk. China treated it as a portfolio problem. Reserves, diversification, substitution, and engineered redundancy. V. The geopolitical dividend. China's relative resilience creates asymmetric leverage. Asian competitors now face a bidding war for non-Gulf crude while burning through reserves. Brent and Dubai crude benchmarks have converged near $120, erasing the spread that once made arbitrage possible. Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, and India are scrambling for spot cargoes from West Africa, the North Sea, and the Americas, regions where China's long-term contracts and equity stakes in upstream projects provide preferential access. Meanwhile, China's control of renewable supply chains, solar panels, wind turbines, EV batteries, positions it to export energy security solutions at precisely the moment demand spikes. European gas prices up 20% make Chinese LNG infrastructure investment, even at a premium, suddenly attractive. Indian cities choking on diesel generator fumes make Chinese EV and battery imports strategic necessities rather than consumer preferences. The Belt and Road pipeline network, often criticized as economically marginal, now looks prescient. The Kazakhstan-China oil pipeline, the Central Asia-China gas pipelines, the Power of Siberia system, these are assets that appreciate in value precisely when maritime routes close. China didn't build energy resilience despite geographic disadvantages. It built it by systematically eliminating maritime dependency. Critical figures at a glance: China daily oil consumption, 15 to 16 million barrels, Hormuz daily flow, 20 million barrels, 20% of global supply, China estimated reserves, 900 million, 1.4 billion barrels, 56 to 90 days, oil price spike, $1.20/barrel, UK gas price surge, plus 22% to 170p/therm, China Jan-February import increase YI, plus 16%, EV share of new China sales, greater than 33%. The bottom line: strategic depth beats spot markets. The Gulf crisis is a stress test China is passing while competitors fail. The lesson for institutional capital: energy security is infrastructure, not inventory. Nations and companies that treated oil supply as a commodity procurement problem face existential exposure. Those that treat it as a portfolio construction challenge, layering reserves, pipeline diversification, fuel switching, and demand destruction, built resilience that translates to relative economic outperformance during crises. The Iran conflict will end, but the strategic divergence it exposed will not. China emerges with validated infrastructure, strengthened supplier relationships, particularly with Russia and sanctioned exporters, and a demonstrated ability to weather supply shocks that cripple peers. For energy investors, the implication is clear. Long-term capital should flow toward integrated energy security platforms, reserves plus alternatives plus diversification, not just low-cost production. For geopolitical analysts, the implication is starker. The Gulf crisis may mark the moment China's energy strategy shifted from defensive to offensive, transforming decades of patient investment into hard power precisely when the West is most vulnerable. The question now is whether Washington and Brussels recognize they're playing a game Beijing started preparing for in the early 2000s, and whether it's too late to catch up. References BBC News. The Iran war is causing a global energy crisis. Can China withstand it? March 2025. BBC News. Why gas prices are soaring after Qatar attack. March 2025.